You're listening to the Heart to Heart Radio program, brought to you by H2H Ministries. I'm Glenn Hartline. Thanks for joining me. You know, I get the opportunity to minister and pray for a lot of people. And because of that, I'm always looking for reasons why people think they can't be healed. And, you know, I can't go over all of them. There are as many reasons and answers people give you for the reason why they don't think they're getting healed or they can be healed. There are as many as there are, you know, grains of sand on the beach or stars in the sky, however you want to say it. There's a ton of them. But one of a very common thread that I've noticed, especially lately, a lot of times if I have time to minister to someone one-on-one and be able to just sit down and talk to them, which I love to do, I may ask them a question like, you know, can you give me any reasons why you think God won't heal you? Or is there any reason why you think that you can't be healed by God? And, you know, there's, like I said before, there are a lot of different answers, but a common thread I get and a very common answer is, well, I'm not living like I should, or I'm not as devoted, or I don't love the Lord as much as I should, or I'm into this sin or that sin. And if you want to sum it up, is what people are saying is, I'm not living my life right. And because I'm not living my life right, then there is a separation between me and the things of God. And because of that separation, then I can't receive from the things of God. God will not heal me. God will not provide my needs, whatever the need is, because of my actions. And I'm here to tell you today that there is nothing further from the truth. That's a lie of the enemy. It comes straight from the pit of hell. There is no truth to that. In other words, if our actions limited God, then we would not be saved. Because yet, while we're sinners, he sent his son. You see, he saved us. He entered that holy place once for all. For all he entered in. None of those people were righteous on their own. None of those people had lived up to a right standing. There's only one man that lived a righteous life, and that is the man Jesus Christ. And that really brings us to a very important point, and one that I wasn't planning on going over this show, but I think I will kind of briefly talk about it, is how do we view Jesus? You know, it is so common for Christians to talk about the divinity of Jesus, how Jesus and the Father are one, that Jesus is God, and that is truth. There is nothing false about that statement. Jesus is God. There's no doubt about it. But one thing we have a hard time relating to is the fact that Jesus is a man. Yes, I say is, because he is at the right hand of the Father as the man, Christ Jesus, the Christ. He is at the right hand of the Father as a man right now, okay? He became man. He will always be a man. He is still God. We're not declining him or denying him of his divinity by any means. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is God, okay? I'm just going to get that out right now. So don't write me and say, well, you're just saying, you know, Jesus is not God. No, if you say that now, you're lying. I am not saying that he is not God. Jesus is God. But Jesus did not consider it, even though he did not consider it robbery, to be equal with God. In other words, to be identical, to be exactly the same as God. He did not consider it robbery. He set that aside and came to earth as a man. Now, why did he come as a man? Well, the obvious answer is man sinned in Adam. In the first Adam, all sinned, all died. All died in the first Adam. But in the last Adam, Jesus, we have all the opportunity to be made alive in him. He died so that we can all live, Okay. So a man gave up this dominion, this authority, this relationship, this oneness with God. We gave that up in Adam, but Jesus regained it in his earthly form as a man. A man had to die. There had to be shedding of blood. If there was not the shedding of blood, there can be no remissions of sin. And the shedding of the blood had to be of equal value as the giving up of that dominion, the giving up of that position that Adam had in Christ. In other words, you couldn't have sacrificed a bull and goats because they were not created in the image of God. You needed a being in the image of God as a man to die, to shed his blood. He had to be perfect and righteous, though, to shed his blood so that we all could be saved. And that's what Jesus came as the Christ, and that's what he did. But another purpose of him coming as a man was also to show us how to live as a man. He did not live on this earth as God. He did not do one thing on this earth as God. He did everything on this earth as a man filled with the Spirit of God. And so that is his purpose. He has always been to live life as a man and to show us how to live that life. You know, in his culture at that time, there were certain rabbis with authority, and they would take on disciples and they would travel around teaching disciples through everyday life how to live the way God called you to live. In other words, they would have their doctrine, their theology, and they would teach these disciples. Now, there was a saying during that time that says, "May you walk so close to your rabbi, so close behind him, that his dust from his feet cover you." In other words, what that saying is saying is that may you follow him so close that you look like him, you talk like him, you think like him, you walk like him, and to the very point that when people see you, they know who you were with. They know who you're a disciple of and who you studied under. And that's what Jesus did when he took up his disciples. They had an understanding. They knew what they were doing because that was tradition. And so when Jesus commissioned them to go out and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers, they didn't question their ability to do it because they had walked with him. They had talked. They understood. He wasn't showing all this stuff to show everybody that he's God. He was doing it to show you, one, that he is the Christ. Yes, he was doing that. But also to show the disciples how we, as sons of God, are to live. So when Jesus forgave people, he says, you know what? Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. When he healed people, with compassion, Jesus was saying, you know what? My compassion, my love that is in you, that should motivate you also to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. You are to be like me. But as generations have passed on, we haven't lost the sight of Jesus's deity, but we've lost the sight. We can't identify with his humanity. And because we can't identify with him as a man, then we can't see ourselves doing what he did, what he has called us to do, to be his disciples, to follow him, to do as he did. And one of the things is we just don't see ourselves righteous because of the way we act and the way the things that we do. But you know what? God is righteous. Jesus is righteous. And it says in 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." You see, God is light. He is righteous. And in him, there is no darkness or any unrighteousness. He doesn't participate in or encourage unrighteousness. And since God is righteous, he will never use an unrighteous or unjust act to obtain his will. He will not make you sick. Sickness and disease is darkness. It is a work of the devil. Jesus says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give life, and that more abundant. You see, life is light. and sickness and disease and darkness. And there is no sickness and disease in God. Therefore, he can't give it to you and he won't use it. God is not an accomplice to sin and disease. James 1 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Another way of saying this is that God is light and there is no darkness in him. That is why Jesus, who is the exact image of the Father, didn't sin. He couldn't sin because there was no sin in him. There was no desire to sin. There was no sin nature in him. Because when we're born, we get our nature from our Father. And his Father was God. He was fully man, but his nature came from the Father. He was not born in bondage to sin, and he didn't sin. Could he have sinned? Yes. Did he sin? No. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, because he did not sin. He never sinned. So he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus took all of our sins, all of our unrighteousness on himself on the tree. Because just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness so that all that looked on him could live, then Jesus lifted up the sin. He took that sin upon himself and he nailed it to the cross. God did not kill his son. Jesus gave up his life. No one takes my life. He freely gave it. And he took that sin upon it. And then God condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned the sin in Christ so that we could be righteous. Hebrews 9:12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus entered the most holy place one time for all sins. He doesn't do it repeatedly like the Aaronic priesthood, who continually had to slaughter bulls and goats as an offering. 1 John 2:2 says, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. Jesus, every time you commit a sin, doesn't have to crawl back upon the cross. He doesn't have to sprinkle the blood on the altar again. No, every sin that was ever committed and ever will be committed was nailed on the cross, was condemned in the flesh on the cross. And then Jesus poured out his blood on the mercy seat one time for all sins. Jesus paid the price for not only our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, that doesn't mean that all are saved. I'm not a universalist. We still must receive this free gift because Holy Spirit and God are gentlemen. Love does not force itself on anyone. Love is a gift. Love has to be received. And that's what we do. We receive this free gift. You see, Jesus died on the cross and he reconciled all men to himself. What that means is that he paid the price. There is no longer any division that keeps you from coming into the very presence of God. He took away every obstacle. Now we just need to receive it. You know, one of the things about Jesus, when it says he gave up his righteousness so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what you understand is this righteousness is a free gift. It is given to you freely. Nothing you said or did can change the fact, can make you more righteous, or can make you unrighteous. Yes, things that you do can open the door and allow stuff to come into you, okay? But it will not prevent God from healing you, because your righteous, your right standing before the throne of God is based on what Jesus did. So just receive his healing. Receive it now, knowing there is no obstacle between you and God. You have been reconciled to him. Well, that's all the time I have for today. Until next time, be blessed. See ya.